Are you ready to advance your career, hone your skills, or explore new vocational paths without spending thousands of dollars to further your education? Skillfeed.com features over 65,000 video tutorials to keep your creative and technical skills current. Choose from long courses or short tutorials called Skill Snacks, featuring courses on business, web development, education, finance, leadership, photography, and more. Get your 30-day free trial now. Log on to skillfeed.com/radio. That's skillfeed.com/radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Me and JR. So JR, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing all right, sir. How are you? How are things?
Doing good.
Good, that's good. Are you ready for tonight's show?
Yes, sir, I am definitely ready. I think tonight's show is going to be a very good one. You know, tonight's show, what we're going to be talking about, if you haven't already covered it, you know, we're going to be talking about thoughts about giving, or at least that's where we're hoping the conversation actually goes. And, you know, I've been thinking about this, and I know you and I have talked before. And, you know, we dealt with tithing before, but we never dealt with giving. And we've had so many good reviews about tithing, so we really thought that now that everybody has a good foundation or a good understanding about tithing, that we can actually go to this next level, which is giving. And I'm not here to get into a theological debate with anybody about which came first, the chicken or the egg, giving or tithing, because both of them are equally important, and you can't do tithing without giving. So that's where we are tonight at the PRF table. We're talking about thoughts about giving, and we hope that you join into the conversation. Press 1 on your dial pad if you'd like to join into the conversation, or reach with us on Facebook, and we would love to just have conversation, love for you to be a part of it. So, Brother Feaster, are you ready tonight?
I'm always ready, now that we're not talking about student loans.
I got you. I had to switch it up because I wasn't used to you being as quiet as you've been for about the past couple of weeks. But let me start off the conversation like this, Brother Feaster. You know, I was thinking, I said, you know, if you had, let's say you had 20 people in a room, we gathered 20 people in a room, we asked them to write down, say, two things that were foundational for how they give or foundational for giving for them, I'm thinking that we would probably not get a lot of people that had the same two things written down.
Right.
And then I said, well, you know, maybe we'll get some of them, or maybe we'll have a few that had, you know, one of those things that will be in common, but definitely not everybody. And I think it's important that it's not so much a requirement that everybody has the same mindset about giving. But I think there should be some core foundational truths, if you will, or some foundational things to giving that some of us, especially those of us who call ourselves believers, should have. And so the reason I brought this up was because, you know, when we talk about giving, I think sometimes it becomes a touchy subject, Brother Feaster, especially in many of our churches, mine included. You know, my church is not exempt. I think it becomes a touchy subject, especially from people who have been hurt by the church. I think it becomes a touchy subject from people who are skeptical about the church or church people in general, whether they're hypocrites or not. You know, I just think it's a touchy subject because most of the time, in my opinion, most people, when you talk about giving, the first thing that comes to most people's minds, in my experience, is about money, right?
Right.
And I think we've talked about it so many times that this thing is not about money. This is not about a money thing. It's about a heart thing. So what I'm hoping to do tonight is really opening up the airways for everybody to be a part of this conversation, to join in, have a seat at the table, and let's just see where it leads. I think for some of us, it may be a reframing of the mind when it comes to why somebody gives the way that they give and what do they give and who do they give to. I think it may be a furthering of the mind for those same reasons for some people. I think it also will be something for some of us to get a greater understanding of what we've been doing as far as our giving and see if we need to be doing more in our giving, if we need to change up some of those places that we're giving to, if we need to adjust in so many ways or so many words who we give to. I think when we come to giving, go ahead, bro.
I was saying, or even why we give, because even in you know what you're saying, a lot of folks are giving and have no clue to why we're giving. We're just doing what mom and dad them said, or doing what I think is right, but really have no idea of why.
Well, and is it a thing of that they don't know why? I know we talked about that same why question when we dealt with tithing. You know, it's not a bad thing for somebody to be given out of tradition. We just believe that, or I just believe that we believe, you and I, that when you have a good understanding of why you're doing what you're doing, that that's important as well. So, for example, it's not just a good thing just for me to give $5 to the homeless person on the street, but what's the motive behind why I gave $5 to that homeless person on the street? Did I give that $5 because the person who was homeless on the street asked me for $5 and I'm walking with my son or my daughter and I didn't want my son or my daughter to hear me tell this person who looks like they need some help? No. So motives is important. The reasoning and the understanding of why is important. All those things are important. What I'm looking to do this evening, Brother Feaster, is having so many people to just join into the conversation, share their thoughts about giving, share their experiences about giving. And again, it's not about, to my point earlier, about us having 100% the same mindset about giving, and we are all giving from the same motives, because it's not going to happen like that. Everybody's at a different place in their life. Everybody has different experiences, and why I'm giving to a particular cause and why you're not giving to a particular cause doesn't say anything negative about you. It just says that something is in within me that says give to this particular cause. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense. I think we're both on the same path on that one.
I got you. You know, there was a song that I think I want to play as we get into the show tonight. It's called "You Can't Get Until You Learn to Start Giving." Rachelle Farrell is the artist. And I just wanted to just intro into the show by letting the listeners hear the words of this song, because I think it'll be kind of beneficial to the conversation going on. So we'll be right back in a brief moment after this song.
Thank you.
right, welcome back to the PR table. I'm one of your hosts, Brother Dunlap. Brother Feaster is the other host, and we're talking about thoughts about giving. That's what tonight's subject is about. So we thank you for taking the time out of your schedule, and welcome back to all of our returning listeners, our returning family. Press one on your dial pad if you'd like to join into the conversation. If you have any thoughts about giving, I think there's so many of us and so many of you that are listening that actually have different reasons why you give. There's different mentalities about giving, different teachings about giving, and that's what we want to explore tonight. Brother Feaster, as always, whenever we get onto these quote-unquote touchy subjects, and sometimes we understand why they're touchy for some people, we get a lot of silence. A lot of people don't want to speak out, but also at the same time, we've also had shows where a lot of people will speak out about the hurt that they have received in regards to this. So let us just get started on the show. You know, if you listen to the words of that song, the first words of that song said, "I love you." And I think for me, when I think about giving, I'm thinking about it as a love thing. I don't just give just for the sake of giving. I give for a purpose. I give for a reason. You know, what's in my heart? I like the fact that, you know, a couple of things that Rochelle said in her song was, you can't get until you learn to start giving. And there's a lot of people that want a lot of things out of life. A lot of children want a lot of things out of life. They expect certain things from us as parents. But giving is not a thing that we do once we get grown. It's a thing that we have the ability to be able to do while we're young, if our parents and others that are around us within our sphere of influence are able to show us. You know, one of the things that, again, going back to the song, one of the things that she said something about, I tried to please you, whoever she's talking to, but you took everything that I had. Then she says, now you need me, but you never thought that she would be on the other foot. And I think, Brother Feaster, I'm going to let you talk in a minute, I think that is very, very key as we talk about giving. It's a two-way street. It's not just about you giving something and feeling good about yourself. It should also be about, in my opinion, it should also be about, as I give to you, there's a reason why you need whatever you need. There's a reason why you need it. There's a reason why I gave it to you in the first place, even if you didn't need it, but just because I may have wanted to bless you. And we'll talk about a couple different examples as well. Again, Brother Feaster, I think it's more than timely for us to be having this conversation about giving. There's a lot of organizations, at least in my city and in my community, that are having giveaways for raising funds for individuals who are going, or kids who are going back to school. So there's haircut giveaways, you know, with barbershops. There's manicures and pedicures in beauty shops. There's stuff in the book bags, you know, in churches, and all these things are things of giving. And so I really want us to try to focus on the act of giving as we get into this conversation. So let me turn it over to you for a minute, Brother Friesen, and see what's on your mind.
What's on my mind is always dangerous, so I'm going to be cautious.
come to the microphone, brother, so we can hear you clear.
As you was doing the intro and just talking, I started thinking about motive. I think a lot of times, and that's what I said when I said earlier about the knowing why we're giving, because of the motive. There are two parts to giving. The first part to giving is me as the receiver, and that's where we focus a lot on, me as the receiver. And we pay little attention to me as the giver. You know, what's my motive? What's my intent? What's my reason for why I'm doing this? And truth of the matter be told, me as the receiver, we know the motive. We can feel the motive. We may not know it per se exactly what it is, but we know if it was sincere. We know if it was genuine. Or we know. In most cases, we know. And as a receiver, if I believe that the motive wasn't true or genuine or authentic, then in most cases, it's not received well. And let's put it in. Let's put it into context. Let's put it in perspective. Let's put it into real day thing. If you, JR, come to me and give me something, and your facial expression, your body language, and you know everything about you is, I really don't want to do this, then I may take the money, but then look at the friendship. Look at how I feel about you now. Look at how I feel about the situation. You know, I've received, you've given, but did you really give? I think I'm stretching this thing and saying, you know, giving is more than the act. The act of giving is more than what we see it in. Because like you said earlier, a lot of times when we look at giving, we look at it totally and strictly when we talk about money. But there's so much more to giving than itself. There's so much more to it. So the first thing I thought about was motive. You know, why are we doing it? Because I know as a receiver, there are a lot of cases I can tell or determine why I'm receiving what I'm receiving.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first thing that was on my mind.
What was the second thing on your mind?
Well, I was stuck on the first thing. Really, I was. I didn't make it to the second thing, to tell you the truth. Go ahead.
You know, I think what you pose is a very, very valid question. And I think when we start looking at the question of why are we giving, or what is the motive behind why we're giving, I think we have to start also trying to branch it out and say, okay, what is it that we're giving to? Who is it that we're giving to? It becomes a lot deeper, and I'm glad you brought it up when you said that there's two places, or two, I'm going to say there's two individuals that are always involved in giving. There's the sender and receiver.
Right.
And this particular conversation about giving with PRF, the title of the lesson in the PRF series that we teach is actually called Giving God's Way. That's what this whole lesson, maybe not tonight, everything from the show tonight, but that's what the lesson when we're standing up teaching this particular lesson in PRF. And, you know, one of the things that I asked a real simple question, and I asked, is the following statement true or false? With God giving his only son, Jesus Christ, was that the greatest act of giving that the world has ever known? And is it one that can never be matched? And I ask that question so that, you know, the individuals that are in the seminar, workshop, or whatever it is that we're doing, start there, because most of us who are believers, when we think about Jesus Christ, we think about love, or we should, at least in my opinion. And most of the people always answer, nobody's ever said, well, that's a false statement. Everybody has said, yeah, that's a true statement. So I use that as a way of just bringing out the point of my motive for giving. I can just speak about me, JR. My motive for giving, it has been framed in a way that it starts there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Because no matter what I try to do, no matter how much money I try to give to my children or to my wife or to my mom or to my brother or to anybody who needs it, I can never match the giving that God has done for us. So I think that's important for me, because everybody has to have some type of foundation. And that's what I want people to think about. What is your foundation for giving? You know, there's going to be different ways of giving, different people to give to, different organization to give to, but what is that core thing within you that says, if you had to answer the question, why do you give? Brother Dunlap is going to say, Reverend Dunlap, Minister Dunlap, whatever you want to call me, I'm going to say it's because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And when I think about all that has happened, or all that happened in that moment, or in that moment of him giving his son to us to die on a cross, there's no way that I could ever match anything like that. So for me, Brother Feaster, I strive to give not in a manner that would never match up to the way God gives, but at least I put my best foot forward in the way that I give by doing what you said. I think about the motive behind why I'm giving. I'm dealing with the situation in my own family when it comes to giving, and I promise you I didn't have this in, you know, nowhere in the program notes for tonight. But there's a reason I had to come to a grips with thinking and even communicating it out loud of why I am not going to give to a certain thing member of my family. You know, it may hurt. But, again, you said it best, Brother Feast, and then I'm going to shut up for a few. You said that giving is about the sender and the receiver. So it cannot be a one-sided conversation. It cannot be a one-sided act. It has to be from both ends. So, Brother Feast, go ahead. What's your thoughts on John 3:16? I know I didn't mention it, but that's what it is.
I was listening to your question, and I think it can be matched. Not in the actual act itself, but what the act represented. The act itself, we can never duplicate. But what it represented was that we are to sacrifice our life to help those around us, to help those in need, and that we can. That we can. So the sacrifice can't, not the act itself, but the intent behind it, you know, it can be duplicated over and over and over again. And every time we give with the receiver in mind, that's what we're doing. We're representing, you know, in your case, what you're saying, we're representing Christ, which is, you know, one of the reasons why I give also, you know. We're representing Christ. We're representing him and his sacrificial life and what he did on the cross. So I think it can be. And, this motor thing is a huge thing. It's a huge thing because I started thinking about, and this is something that I have a big heart, and I want to give as much as I can to whoever I can with what I can. But that even has to be put in perspective because my wife had to tell me years ago, she said, Feaster, you can't help everybody. So there are some people that they say they won't help, but then they tell you how they want to help. My mom used to tell me, if he was hungry, he'd eat anything. Hungry man, eat anything. It don't matter, you know. But then this one particular guy I was helping out, and he wanted me to go get him something to eat. And I went and got him something to eat. He said, well, I want Taco Bell. Okay. Hmm. All right, we passed in a couple of restaurants. I went to Taco Bell. I want, you know, this right here, but I don't want this in it. I mean, he was really specializing the order. Now, does he have a right to what he wants? Yes, he does have a right to what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
But my problem with it is this ain't your money. If you're hungry, you know what I'm saying, if you're truly hungry, then it really doesn't matter what you want. I mean, granted, there are some things, my likes, and yeah, there are my likes and some things that I really want. I got that. But if I'm truly hungry, I don't care about onions being on it. You know, I don't care with extra cheese. Unless I'm allergic to these things, I don't really care. You know, so even when we talk about motive, we even got to put that motive in perspective because sometimes, and this is the giver and the receiver part, you know, sometimes me as the receiver need to be a little compassionate with me as the giver. It's a mutual responsibility. There is no one side. It's 50-50. You know, it's not 51-49. It's 50-50. I'm obligated as a giver. You're obligated as a receiver, or vice versa. I'm obligated as a receiver. You're obligated as a giver. There are some parts to it, you know. And there are some times where you can give till it hurts. And that's on both sides. You can give me something that I don't need. You can give me something that I don't want. You can give me something that I can't use. And is that really giving?
Mm.
And then I can take it. I can take it to where it hurts. Well, I don't need it, but you give it to me and I'll take it anyway. Or, and I heard the story, and I'm not bashing on anybody's religion, but I heard the religion I heard when Buddha died, he knew that the meal that he received from someone was going to, somehow he knew the meal was tainted or it was, I'm not sure if he knew it was poison or if he was allergic to it or something, but he knew and he died. He went ahead and took the meal. So there's an obligation to me as a receiver. If I'm allergic to whatever you're about to cook, then as a receiver, I'm obligated to say something. You know, so there is a mutual responsibility for the giver and the receiver when we're talking about the motive behind it. You know, me as the receiver having a motive of I want. Well, I'm being a little selfish. I'm being a little greedy, you know. So there, motive goes both ways. I hope we're not going as in motive in just one different direction. We were just worried about motive for me as a giver. There's motive for me as a receiver. Why do I want this? Why do I need this? We talked about this a long time ago. Do I need it or do I want it? You know, is it a strong want that I think is a need? You know, if I need a ride, does it have to be a Lexus? You know, if I need food, does it have to be, you know, a value meal? You know, so the motive goes on both sides of this coin, both sides of the coin. It's a 50-50 responsibility. There is no big I's and little U's when we're talking about giving. Now, I do have a right to where and how, you know, I give. Yeah, I have some rights. Me as a receiver, it's the same thing. I have some rights, but it's a 50-50 responsibility.
All right, my brother. You going in early, aren't you?
Well, you know today is a special day to me, so I'm feeling it right about now. So
I got you. Well, we had a caller that wanted to say something, so we hope the caller calls back. We'll see if you on the switchboard if you come back. You know, you said a lot of things, Brother Feaster. You know, motive is a deep thing. Motive is a deep emotion, and I don't know. And I heard all that you said. I just don't know that so many people, you know, most people walk around, so to speak, with thinking about motive when they're the receiver for giving. I don't see how that plays out, so to speak, you know. Maybe you can help me, but if I'm hungry and I'm asking somebody to give me something, I'm just looking to eat. You know what I'm saying? I'm just looking to eat. And at the same time, I do hear your point, and I respect it, that, you know, if you need a car, do you need a Lexus? Okay. I don't know. I can't say what you actually need. But if it's about me giving, and I'm giving from my heart, if I give you a Lexus, forget what somebody else says. And I think that's one of the things, one of the good reasons for us having a conversation about giving is because there's a lot of perception about people about why somebody's giving to somebody else. I think there's a lot of perceptions about why I don't give. But I don't see a lot of people enter into conversations about just, can we just talk about some basic fundamentals to giving? Can we ask some simple questions about giving? I want to hear from the listeners, Brother Feaster, because, you know, you and I can go all night. So press one on your dial pad if you had anything that you wanted to bring to the PRF table tonight. We're talking about thoughts on giving, and, again, these are not just our thoughts. These are what's that out there. So we'll talk until you decide that you want to talk. Let me add one more thing, Brother Feaster, if you will, about John 3:16 for me. You know, for me, that scripture is important. And, again, I'm speaking for myself because what it does, it provides me with a biblical and also a spiritual foundation for every act of giving that I do. Now, am I thinking about John 3:16 every time I give? I can't say that I am. But at least I know that it's something that is deep down inside of me, and that foundation is based upon love and is within me. So more often than not, I think that I may not be thinking about the scripture, but I'm thinking about what came from that particular scripture. And understanding that, you know, we can, again, we're going to disagree on this, Brother Feaster. I don't believe that we can ever give anything that will come close enough to what God has given us. And I really, again, I don't think that we can match up to that level of giving. And I think that's important to say, because some people, especially believers or Christians, are striving so hard to be like Jesus or to do things in a godly way. There's some things that we're just not going to be able to do. Why is that something that is unable to be, that concept is something that is not able to be grasped by a lot of people? Because when you strive for things that you're not going to be able to do and you don't do them, it's easy for the enemy to get in there and to condemn you and to have you thinking that you're a failure because you're not able to do the things that you know God is able to do and he is only able to do alone, or that Jesus did and only Jesus was able to do them alone. So we can go back and forth on that one, but, you know, let me give you a visual. One of the things that have you ever seen The Passion of the Christ?
Yes, I have.
You know, when you watched that movie, it was not a pretty sight as Jesus was going to the cross or carrying the cross, going to come down the hill. It was not a pretty sight. And we can never, ever, ever totally visualize in our mind that whole scene of what actually happened on that day. We can't. But The Passion of the Christ, when I saw that, and I bring it up, and I even use it in my teaching, I said, man, I can never do anything like that. I'm going to just be honest with you. Could I do it? Nah. I'm not even going to try to be a super Christian and say, in God's strength, I could do that. Nah. I don't think JR is built like that, bro, I'll be honest with you. But I think it's important. I think it's good for us to remember that we're only going to be able to give within the limits that God provides us to be able to give. God provided Jesus with the ability to deal and to suffer as he did for us during that whole scene. So I think he'll do the same thing for us. He'll provide us. He's not going to put anything in our path where we're not going to be able to do the things that we want to do when he gives us the tools that we need. So that's why possessions, resources, and finances, for me, is really so important, because it covers so many of the different bases about what's going on in individuals' lives, how do these things connect. And so that's where I'm at, Brother Fista. That's where I'm at. I'll also say this. I strongly believe that for me as a believer, my giving just has to be spiritually or biblically based. And again, I'm not talking about, you know, the $1 that I may give over here, but when I'm making some real major decisions, it needs to be biblically and spiritually based for me. So I think about Matthew 6, for example, when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees about giving and not letting the right hand know what the left hand is doing and not being a hypocrite in giving so that you can be seen. I know I'm about to step on some toes, Brother Feast, and once I say what I'm going to say, I know you're going to take it after that. I know I've seen in church, in some of our churches, and I'm going to say in our, meaning Christian churches, where a pastor or a minister would say, I'm going to give X amount of dollars. And I've been in congregations where all of you who are preachers, stand up. Okay, I stand up. And then it's, I need you to match this. Or we're at a function for a annual day or an anniversary day. And the focus is about the giving of money and the raising of funds. I don't have a problem with that, but when that overshadows why a person is giving, and there's never a question about what is the purpose of why we're giving and what is it going to be used for, those are some of the things that I have a problem with giving. And I am a minister, and I do go to church, and I do work in ministry. So I constantly think about the individuals who are on the outside. As at the top of the hour, you also heard what I said about individuals that may have been hurt from the church about giving. I think we have to have these type of conversations about, okay, what is it that we're doing when we're talking about giving in a church? Are we willing to go after that one that left because they felt like they didn't have it to give, but that's all they kept hearing in the church? Do we go after that one individual? Do we even know that one individual has left our midst? Do we try to help reconcile that individual back to the brother and the sister? Those are the questions that I have. I ask those questions because when I talk to individuals, Brother Feaster, there's individuals that are hurting. And you know one of the things that we like to do is try to bring wholeness and healness to individuals. You know, we know that God is the only one that can heal, but we sure can be a part. And I think we are supposed to be a part of that process. So I'm going to drop the mic, Brother Feaster, and let you run with it from here.
I think you're still confirming the motive behind it. I remember when I was in Korea, and this one pastor and founder of the church was about to leave. And, you know, it was part of a denomination, which I would keep that to myself. It was part of the denomination. And so other churches of that denomination came to this particular church this particular day. And the church had already, me as a church member, we were obligated to give $75 because the church had to give so much money, and that's how much it was per member, not per family, per member. So we raised our money. We gave up our money, you know, and we gave it to him. Well, the organization came. The rest of the denomination came, the ones that were there in that district. They came up there for his, you know, final weekend. And during that service, the guy gets up and he gives a nice, good speech about, you know, we want to bless the man of God and send him on his way and blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that. And he wants to take up an offering. Takes up the offering. We sing a song. He comes back. He needs more money. So he talks for more money. So what am I saying? He did that three times. What he did not do was tell us up front, and this is where I have a problem with it. He did not tell us up front that there was a certain monetary value that he was trying to obtain to give to this sixth man. I believe if you put things out up front, then it makes me easier to make up my mind how much I want to give up front. Because if I give you all that I have the first time, you coming back the second and third time, well, I mean, now I got less than I had the first time to give, and now my motive has changed. So, you know, what are we doing? Are we trying to reach something? For what reason? In that case, we're trying to make sure we give this man some money. I'm not a big fan of always giving of money because there are other things that we need in some cases. You know, and I think we put a lot of value on money, and money has a lot of value. Money has a lot of power. Money has a lot of pull. But it ain't always the money that we could give that could be a major asset. I mean, the church at that time was a small church, and part of my giving was my servitude. I was part of the hospitality committee. So part of mine was making sure when we had guests, and we had food, setting the food out, made the atmosphere right, greeting the people. That was part of my job. That was part of my giving. Well, you can't really put a monetary value on that. And when you know, and this is one of the things that I taught my daughter. Find a job that you love doing, and you never work a day in your life. So my motive behind that is do what you love and love what you do so that it won't become burdensome. And when I get up in the morning to go to work, or when I get up in the morning to do something, or when I give, you know, whatever I'm trying to give, it's not out of burden. The Bible says not grudgingly or not of necessity that we give. You know, so a lot of times, you know, we got to look at, again, like you're saying, that motive behind it, because that's where we can give till it hurts. I mean, we can give till we bleed ourselves to death because we're trying to meet an expectation that either we can't meet or the expectation we don't want to meet. And now it becomes an unfruitful giving. It becomes an unfruitful giving. So, JR, this subject of giving is really just like, I'm almost equating this one to how I felt about stewardship because it still ties in, and I didn't really think about it until I started talking and listening to you. It still ties into stewardship. We have a responsibility in this. Like I said, it's 50-50. We have responsibility in this. You know, how I give of my time, how I give up my talent, how I give up my resources, you know, how I receive all the stuff that I receive. So there's, like I said, I think the motive plays a lot. I think I'm going to put the mic down for a little while.
Well, you're right. Motive plays a lot, and we all have to be honest with ourselves about the reasons of why we're giving. And again, I say why we're giving. I'll add to that as well, who we give to, what we're giving to, and when we give to. I think that's important. You know, I can give your daughter $100,000 right now, bro. I really can. The benefit to that is going to be why. Does she have the tools to operate and to manage $100,000? Okay, well, she just graduated high school. So maybe she's never had that amount of money before. So she doesn't know how to manage it properly, which ties into your comment about stewardship. So before I do something like that, I should be consulting with God. This is me talking, Brother Dunlap. I need to be consulting with God, okay? Should I be giving this $100,000 to Destiny at this particular time? God, you put it on my heart to bless her with this $100,000, but is now the right time? I and I alone am the only person that can answer that question. Nobody can judge my giving and say, well, you know what, you got it right now, you might as well go ahead and give it. Nah, again, for me, biblically and spiritually based is one of the foundations for me in how I give. Let me flip it another way. I remember being in debt, you know, serious debt years and years ago. I've talked about, you know, almost being in bankruptcy, you know, 12, 13 years ago. I've mentioned that openly on the show. And I remember there was a time where God allowed me to be in a famine for a couple of months as far as employment was concerned. Everybody didn't know it because I didn't let it show on my face. But I was willing to make some moves that was going to be difficult for me and my family. Everything was legal, of course. So I was about to make some moves. I was willing to do what I needed to do to try to continue to put food on the table, to continue to pay the bills. And I believe that God saw that act. I believe he saw what I did. And I promise you, it was probably about a month and a half, you know, maybe 2 months from that time, where God opened up a window and provided an opportunity that I've made and allowed me to make more money than I have ever made in my life. Was it something that lasted for a long time? No, but it was significant, and it lasted for a little while. And I think about giving in this aspect. God was the one who gave that opportunity. God was the one who gave me the wisdom to reach out to where I reached out to. And he put that in my hand. Again, tying back into your conversation or your comment about stewardship. But this is the thing that I tell people all the time when I'm telling that story, and I'm shortening it down for purpose of the show tonight. There is no way in the world, and I mean this with all my heart, that God would have blessed me to make that type of money 5 years prior to the time that he allowed it to happen. I believe he knew that I probably would have wasted a whole lot of the money. So timing is everything we're giving, even with God. God knew exactly what he was doing when he did what he did. So I think that's important for us to, I think it's important for me. I'm saying it out there and hoping that it helps somebody else that is looking for God to give to them. And it seems like it's not coming right now. But maybe it's something, has something to do with timing. Maybe it has something to do with not being ready to receive whatever it is. You know, brother, I'm telling you, I tell you like this. We should not have certain expectations and ask God to give us certain things as individuals that we're not ready for. Can I give you a biblical example?
Go ahead.
In the book of Luke, there's a story that Jesus was talking about, a father and a son. And the father, and I don't like to use the word prodigal, but that's what most people know the story as. And in that story, in the book of Luke, the son asked for his share of his inheritance from his father. The father gave him his share of the inheritance. The son goes off and he squanders the inheritance. He wasn't ready to receive the inheritance, but it was given to him anyway. And for those of us who know the rest of the story, it wound up being a mess for this young man because he wasted it on prostitutes and lavish living. And I'm not calling out that prostitutes. I'm just telling the story. I'm not pointing it out as, you know, one sin, for example. I'm just saying what the story was. So, and then he had to come to his senses, but he had to go through something. And I preached a message one time, Brother Feast, and I'll be quiet after this. And I preached a message, and I said, We hear that story being, that parable being interpreted always about the prodigal son or always about the father who had the open arms when the son went off and did whatever he wanted to do, and then, you know, things were bad for him. And then he comes into his senses, and then he realized, you know what, here I am living with the pigs, but even the higher hands back at home have it better than I. So then he comes back to the father, and the father has open arms for him, throws him a feast, puts a robe on him, all of that. And the message that I preached was, and it was at a men's day service, if I'm not mistaken, but what about the father? The father gave something that the son wasn't entitled to at that particular time anyway, because an inheritance is not something that you give to somebody while they're living. It's something that they get when you die. So I think it's very crucial that individuals understand that timing is a very big part of giving. It's not just about getting something because we want it. It has to be timing involved. And I don't want somebody to bless me. And I've seen this happen as well. I know I said I was going to be quiet, but I can't. I've seen where individuals were so-called blessed by individuals who had a heart to give to somebody, but they were not ready to receive what it was. So, for example, let me give an example. I know a brother who was blessed by an individual with a car, very expensive car. But the individual who received the car did not have enough money to take care of the maintenance and the other issues and other things that came with having this car. So, for example, there's some cars that take 87 octane gas and some that take 93, Brother Feaster. It's not a good thing for the life of the car to put 87 octane gas into a car that is designed for 93 octane gas. So by blessing, quote-unquote, blessing this individual with that particular type of car, that individual was not able to keep it, was not able to maintain it. When something broke, was not able to get it fixed. So what does that say about the blessing? I think the timing wasn't right. But to your point about the receiver had an obligation to say, I don't think I can afford this particular type of car that you're giving me, and to be able to maintain it and put gas in it as much as I go. So if you want to bless me, you know, maybe can you bless me with another type of car that I'm going to be able to keep for a longer period of time. But that didn't happen. So the individual lost the car. The car was sitting down, was sitting outside the individual's house for months and months and months because we're not able to get it fixed. But then let's go to your other point about obligation, right? Was there an obligation, Brother Feaster, for the individual that so-called blessed the other individual with the car who was unable to receive it, the person who was the giver, did that person have an obligation to get their car fixed?
Are you asking me that question?
Or should they just there? Go ahead, brother.
Oh, I was going to say, in that case, the answer is no, because now once I've given it to you, it's your responsibility. But it goes back to the initial giving of it. And you know, so
the giving was a good intention.
Right. So there's intent, there's impact. So I may have all the right intent, but the impact may be wrong. Give you let's stretch this out real big so I can illustrate it. Let's just expound this real big. If I give a brand new $200,000 house to a 5-year-old child with all the right intentions, what is the impact? That child cannot do anything with that house. Nothing but tear it up, look for a playroom. That's it. That is it. So a lot of times I understand that we want to give, but like I said, there's a responsibility of the giver and the receiver. Sometimes we got to look at, for example, a BMW, Lexus, all these premium cars, like a BMW, man, them service packages on those things are phenomenal. So, yes, I may want a BMW, and I may be able to afford the BMW, but can I afford everything that comes with the BMW? You know, the service, the 93 octane, you know, all that other stuff that comes with it, can I afford it? So that also is responsibility of the giver. But I like what you were saying about the, you know, giving in time, that timely. Man, I'm going to divert off of money and go back to us in the church. Because us in the church are hear a word from God about a certain person, and we think that it's our responsibility, as soon as we heard that word from God, to tell that person right then and there what God told me. I'm a firm believer, and maybe this is just me, and maybe this is just how God got me wired, but I'm a firm believer that it's not always the case that when you first hear it to tell them. My practice is when God gives me a word, I sit back and pray for the opportunity to tell. And I always think about the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis of the Bible. I always think about that story and wonder, had he not told his brothers about the dream? Granted, everything worked out and in the end, you know, for God's good. But had he not told his brothers about the two dreams that he had, his brothers would not have been so much enraged with him. His brothers would not have been so mad at him. His brothers would have not been to the point to where they wanted to kill him. It goes back to being in time. Sometimes wanting to give somebody something at a certain time may not be that right time. The Bible tells us that in the fullness of time, that's when Jesus came. He didn't come too early. He didn't come too late. But when he came at the right time, in the right country, speaking the right language, you know, during the right political season, during the right time of the year, all of those things was in line. And the same thing with us. We have to be in line, in time with it. Because I can give you something, and the intent may be a great thing, but the impact may be much more detrimental, which is just like the story you gave. He couldn't even drive the car. Probably something that he needed, or even something that he wanted or desired. But in the end, he couldn't do it. And this is the tricky part of giving. And going here, a whole lot of people say some of the stuff like this because we don't think about stuff like that. We think that if I want to give, I'm going to give when I want to give, how I want to give, because it's mine to give. I'm not even going to disagree with that. I'm not even going to disagree with that. But it goes back to what we talked about months ago when we talk about stewardship. It all ties into that stewardship, my responsibility and my role. You know, you give my daughter that $100,000, she's going to do good for probably about 2 months. About 2 months, she's probably going to do extremely well and taking care of what she needs to take care of and do what she needs to do and probably even save a little bit. But then after a while, she's going to start seeing all them zeros. And next thing I know, them $10,000 is going to come to daddy. I need, whoa, what you mean you need? You just got it. Because we're not at that point to where we can receive it and be beneficial, not only to ourselves, but those around us.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, go ahead.
Something that you mentioned earlier, you talked about giving, and I believe I heard, if I'm not, correct me, of course, but I thought you talked a little bit about or made a statement about giving from the heart or not giving under compulsion.
Right.
I think that's one area. Let's shift to that, because I think a lot of people, there's a lot of people that experience the giving mentality and not giving directly from the heart, or give from what they're believing is from the heart, but is out of actual compulsion. So when you were saying that, when you made that statement, were you coming from 2 Corinthians? What was your basis for mentioning that?
Yeah, when I said not out of necessity, not grudgingly or out of necessity, yeah, I was coming out of 2 Corinthians.
Okay, so you must, when Paul said you must decide not you must decide in your heart, every one of you must decide in your heart how much you want to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. That's the scripture I think you're coming from out of 2 Corinthians 9, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So let's be honest. A lot of people have given contrary to what that scripture just talks about.
Right.
So if we know that, then what are we willing to do to try to help individuals to understand this is what our Bible says? Let us follow what Paul said. You know, Paul is not the only authority in the Bible, of course, but it is definitely a scripture that, you know, just like when we dealt with tithes, we brought this up when we were dealing with tithing as well. So if it was good enough for tithing, meaning not to give it grudgingly or under pressure or compulsion, then it definitely is as just as valid or even more valid for giving, because this wasn't about tithing, this was just about giving. I like the scripture, but I've heard it so much in church, and that's why it's one of those scriptures that I talk about, I try to talk about extensively when I have the opportunity to teach about it, because in this particular scripture, brother, this particular act, this particular of act of giving was something that the people decided to do. This was an act of giving that the people decided that they wanted to participate in. If you go back, I've said it before, you need to go back to 2 Corinthians 7, 8, and read 9 in order to get the full context of what Paul was mentioning when he mentioned this particular text that I just read from or somewhat quoted. The previous chapters, they saw the need of other Christians. They saw a need that needed to be met, and they decided that they wanted to help. If you go back and read it, you'll see that they decided a year prior to the time that Paul is actually speaking in that particular text that I just read or quoted from. So this is something that they had already had fixed in their mind from a whole year ago. Hmm. Not something to be used every time you come into church on Sunday after Sunday as the scripture that gets read before your time of giving. But it was, Paul did nothing more than just bring this back to their remembrance. He said, look, this is something that you decided that you wanted to do. This is something that you said that you wanted to do. All I'm doing is just reminding you. So the whole purpose for that scripture was really to remind them about something that they put an obligation upon themselves to participate in. Not something that Paul was trying to get money for him from them for him. He wasn't even being the benefactor of that, other than being a conduit for God in helping to facilitate that act of love towards other brothers and sisters. So if I had to give a second point, giving has to be willingly. It cannot be something that is about being that's involved with coercion. It is something that is not involved in guilt. And you know what Paul also said, which we don't hear? If you don't want to do it, don't do it.
Right, and that's where I was going next. Go ahead, brother.
It's up to you, because you decided that you want to do it. But don't let me come, because I'm on my way there. I'm sending some ahead of me so that they can make sure that what you said that you were going to do in this obligation, you're going to go ahead and do it. All you had to do is just say, we're not going to do it anymore. But let's not give individuals let's not give these other Christians any hope. And I don't know from reading the text if the other Christians knew that they were planning on giving a gift or not. But I know Paul had it in his mind because he had communicated with them, or they communicated with them, with him being Paul, that that's what they were going to do. So we shouldn't I'm not going to say we because I'm not involved in that. There shouldn't be a begging for finances in the church.
Amen.
Period. Let me tell you something. In the book of Exodus, you can tell I'm getting a little excited. In the book of Exodus, God told Moses, he said, tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. He told them, you receive it from each man whose heart is prompted to give.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. So God, through his servant Moses, asked the people to give. That was it. When you keep on reading that scripture, bro, it had nothing to do with money, but it had everything to do with their resources and their possessions. Exodus 35, if I'm not mistaken. And it also talks about how their hearts was moved. When you read Exodus 35, you'll read that God nor Moses asked the people twice.
Mm-hmm.
So how somebody, including God, has to ask for something, like begging over and over and over, right? It gives you an indicator of where that person's heart is.
Right.
If I got to keep asking you for something over and over and over, and you say that you're going to do it, and you don't do it, and I ask you again, and you say you're going to do it, and you don't do it, something should click in my mind. There's a reason why this brother is not giving this to me.
Right.
But if you're not going to do it, just say you're not going to do it. So don't misunderstand me. You know, I'm not saying if somebody asks you for something twice that your heart is not in it. I'm not really saying that. But sometimes people don't give it in the right way or at the right time, like we were talking about earlier. Because maybe they haven't reached that level of maturity in their Christian walk or their walk of being a believer. Maybe they haven't been taught about giving. Maybe they only heard one scripture about giving, talking about don't give out of guilt or out of necessity or compulsion, but they hear the scripture Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and wonder why it sounds like they're being begged for. I just don't think that that's the way. At least when I look at Exodus 35, I don't see that that's how God actually had to do it. So I think what people have to realize is that giving is related to money or finances from the perspective of society. But when I looked at Exodus, go and read Exodus 31. Exodus 31 talks about resources and possessions, and they were just as equal and as beneficial as money is. So it baffles my mind how the value, and this is one of your words, Brother Feaston, I promise I'll be quiet after this, but how the value of money overshadows the value of possessions and the values of resources. I've said over and over and over on this show, this is the PRF table, possessions, resources, and finances. All three of those are equally as important as the other. None of them is more valuable to the other. So I think it's important for us to, you know, to really start talking about this in the way that we're talking about it, in a meaningful way. You know, we want others to join into the conversation as well. But I promise you, giving should never be where an individual feels like they're compelled to give. You know, God had to, he only had to ask once. And when you read Exodus 35 and go read Exodus 31 and throughout 31 to 35, and you'll see what they were giving to. I'm not even going to spoil it for you, for those who haven't read it. And you see what the purpose of it was for. It lets me know that we need to get back to some basic foundational truths about giving. And it may take, as I said at the top of the hour, a reframing of the mind. I think it's going to be hard for some individuals that stand in the pulpit Sunday after Sunday, us or them. We can put ourselves into that bubble, Brother Fiso, for this point. I think it may be hard for an individual to stand up in the pulpit on Sunday and say, if you don't want to give, don't give. Knowing that there's some bills that the church has to pay. Because the reality is, it's a spiritual thing. Giving is a spiritual act for the believer. So if your spirit ain't right, your act is not right. And that's what Jesus referred to them, referred to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 6. It's about the heart. Okay, Brother Feast, I'm going to go take a sip of this, whatever was in my cup, and I know you've been waiting to say something, so go ahead, bro.
I hope what you got in that cup is something worth sipping on. Yeah, well, anyway. So I was thinking about, man, you hit me hard. I was thinking about how, you know, when you're saying about we put so much value on money instead of the resources and the possessions, and I was thinking about, I mean, the question just popped in my head. How much of the church runs off of non-monetary things?
That's
how much of it, and if we really think about it, probably like 90%. We put so much value on money, but the church runs the choir. How many people on the choir get paid? In most churches, it's just the musicians. Maybe the director. But you got 100 people on the choir. You got 30 people on the choir. Giving of their time and their talent, which is just as equally as important as those musicians that's getting paid and that choir director that's getting paid. What about the ushers? I don't think I ever met an usher that got paid. But I know a lady that was so dedicated to her calling as an usher that she stood by the door with a cast on her foot because she was dedicated to her calling. But we don't pay no value to that because that's not a monetary job.
Hold that thought real quick, Brother Feaster. Let me catch this caller that's been waiting patiently. Hold that thought real quick. Don't forget it. Caller, you're calling from 0097. Welcome to the PRF table.
Good evening, gentlemen. I just picked up on the tail end, and I just have a couple of testimonies I'd like to share. This is dealing with the finances, the resources, and I just want to let you know that yourself is a resource. And God calls for that oftentimes. I remember I was praying and seeking God for a certain thing, and he told me to feed the hungry. And me thinking, okay, well, I'll just write a check, and that'll take care of that. But God convicted me, and he told me, I said, to feed the hungry. I didn't say write a check. So what God required of me at that time was that not to write a check, but to physically go out and feed the hungry. And what that has done, that has blessed me and my family so much more than just writing a check. Because not only does this involve me, it involves my husband, my niece, my daughters. So that allowed me to bless my whole family by not just writing a check. And like you said, Brother Feaster, we have put so much value on the dollar, but God values our person too, because with us, my niece, she's 6 years old, and every time we pass by this place, she say, Auntie, are we going to help out today? Are we going to help out today? That was something simple. And had I just written a check, she would never have it in her heart that we need to help feed the hunger. That's all I want to share right now.
That's only one, my sister. You said you had a couple of them.
I know, right?
Okay, my other instance is we were praying. I just thank God for his grace and his mercy, and I thank God for bringing us as a family where we are today. I have never given, until recently, I have never been a giver. I used to pay my tithes like I was supposed to pay my tithes, and then I learned that I give my tithes. And at our church, we had our pastor asked us to pray for an offering to give towards our van. And he said, if you want to help, just pray and ask God. He didn't tell us to, okay, let's put in some money in the donation. He said for us to pray and ask God. So we prayed, and I want you to know my husband is a real strong-willed man. So I came to him, and I said, well, God told me to make a sizable donation to the church. And he said, well, okay, baby. And then he said, how much? And I said, $1,000. He said, what? And he said, well, okay, we'll do this. in monthly installments, right? And so, you know, so my husband and I think he wrote the first check. When we wrote that first check, God convicted me. He said, now my husband and I both knew what we had in our bank account, and I promise you, God is my witness. When God came to me, he said, I told you $1,000. And my husband and I, we were looking at the bank statement, and I went to my husband and I said, God didn't tell us to do this in installment. He told us to pay $1,000. And he said to me, are you sure? I said, I am 100% sure. So that night, my husband, we wrote the check for $1,000. And I promise you, we were blessed immeasurable. So when God puts it on our heart to give whatever it is, we do it. And when people stand up in the pulpit and say, well, we're going to have a love offering and we're going to do this, I look at my husband, he said, mm-mm, I ain't feeling it. And if God doesn't tell us to move, we don't move. If he tells us to move to the left, we move to the left. But if he tells us to sit still, we sit still. We do not be, moved by emotions. If it's not the Holy Spirit telling us to do, we don't do.
That's amen. It. Amen. Thank you, my sister. That. What do we say behind that? Other than good night. the doors of the church are open, right?
I know, right? And we ain't
Let me tell you, I am really moved by our caller, and we thank you, caller, for having a seat at the table with us this evening. You know, the fact that there's a young person, a child, that is seeing a genuine act of giving, we pray that what that child is feeling from her heart, it just never goes away. Regardless of where she goes to church, as she grows older, whatever she does, that is something that's foundational to her because she knows how important it is. For a six-year-old to know and to recognize how important what that was is, that's powerful, bruh.
Right.
We can't even take that lightly. We can't even say that she doesn't know what's going on. Yeah, that six-year-old knows that there's somebody that needs some help, and she gets a joy. She may not truly, truly, fully understand it. She probably can't articulate it. This is God that has placed this within me to do this, but she knows that it's important. And she sees a good example in her auntie. Come on, man. It's not hard, bro. We got another caller. Y'all done got it cranking now at the end of the show, but we're going to keep going till we go. Caller, you're calling from the last four, 5656. Welcome to the PRF table.
Yes, good evening, everyone. And I'm really enjoying the show. And I was just sitting here, and I'm often thinking of this, how God blesses me. When I went to Florida to live for a period of time, the pastor was speaking about how if someone comes up, say, after church and give you, I'm just exaggerating, say, give you $50, you're just shouting all over the place, you're so God, you're so glad what God has done for you. And if someone is to come up and to give you maybe a beautiful, say, designer bag, and you know yourself it costs maybe $100. You're not that, you don't like the color. I wish he had got it purple to match my purple shoes. And he says, we need to be thankful for everything because, say, when someone gives you something, they're giving you money. And I tell you, I have taken that with me. And it's been, I have to say, over 20 years. And when people give me things, I don't care what it is, whether it's a dollar, whether it's a pair of socks, I am so excited to get it because I know that they didn't have to do it. Mm-hmm. And I don't buy clothes. You know, like go shopping for clothes. I don't care what state I have been in. God has provided me an abundance of clothes. I have to have given away maybe over 40 bags of clothes. Now, I've just moved to join another church because I just recently got married. Well, one of the sisters told me, she says, I went to my car, and there was a whole bag of clothes. I mean, they fit me and they were the top of the line. And so I said that to say, if God looks at our hearts, and are we thankful when someone blesses us? Are we really thankful? Because the clothes are very expensive. I mean, I've got pocketbooks. I've done given away so many shoes. I mean, something's always coming in the clothesline, you know, and they fit. And sometimes I could be thinking of it. Go to church Sunday, he gives it to me. You know, and I'm saying, wow, I was thinking about that. I remember I was thinking about a purple pair of pants. And sure enough, that Sunday, here's someone say, here's a pair of pants. I just happened to call them, not wearing them, purple. So God just showed me from what that pastor had taught from the pulpit is that be thankful for what anyone gives you. I don't care if it's a pair of socks. You may not can use those socks, but be thankful anyway because you can bless somebody else. And sometimes when you are blessed with things, it doesn't mean it's always for you. You know, I've had things, then all of a sudden I see someone in church that has that need for something that I've had in that closet for maybe 3 or 4 years and haven't worn. I said, oh, she could wear that, you know. And so, like you said, we put this value on money when if you bought everything down, somebody paid for it.
You know, and there's another thing as well, caller. What you said was when somebody gives you something, they're giving you money. And that takes us back to, you know, one of the foundational texts for PRF, which is 2 Kings chapter 4, when, you know, we're talking about the widow and the oil.
Yes.
Money did not solve her problem. It was the oil that was able to be turned in to the money to pay off the debt. So how we think about money, how we think about currency is very, 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 very critical. Just like that when you said about the pocketbook. You got a pocketbook. You were blessed with the pocketbook or the purse. And if you got into a situation, you had something that instead of saying, I need to go out and get a loan, a payday loan, maybe you could have sold that purse.
Yes.
Kept your credit back, not had to pay anybody any interest. So, you know, the possessions that we have, again, are very, very critical. They're very important. They're just as valuable as money. So I'm thankful for your comment and your call and your testimony, and keep listening as we get ready to close out the show this evening. Have a wonderful night. God bless you. Well, Brother Feaster, it's wrapping up that time, my brother. We're going to let you take us out this evening. What's the final comments that you have for us tonight? I'm going to already tell you, we know we're going to be back on this next week and probably the week after. So we're going to let you close it out, Mr. Master Sergeant, Reverend Dr. Feaster.
There you go. There you go. Well, my closing comments, as I close it out.
Come to the mic, brother.
Yeah, my closing words are really simple. Giving is more of the heart, is more of the act than it is of just giving. If we do it in the right motive, it will always do the right thing. There's so much more to giving than just an extension of the pocket. There's so much more to giving than an extension of our monetary value. There's so much more to it, and I hope over these next couple of weeks that we will dive into this giving as it ties into a lot of the other stuff that we've come to. So thank you for coming out. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the callers coming in, and we'll talk to you next week. Good night, God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you, brother. Have a good night, y'all.